Well, when most of you ladies were little girls, you probably dressed very modestly. I would imagine that most of you wore dresses to school and would never think of wearing pants to church. I was born in 1958, so by the time I came along, it was the hippie 60s. Remember those? During my high school years, blue jeans and tennis shoes were in, and so was sloppy. But it wasn't quite as bad as sloppy is today. But it was still sloppy. As a youth in church, I can remember my first time to wear pants on a Wednesday night. We started on Wednesday night. A little later, we started wearing pants on Sunday night. And then it graduated to blue jeans. And now, it's just common to see women in pants at church anytime. And I've prayed about my church attire a lot in my life, because I do want to come to my Lord's house dressed in a way that shows reverence to Him. I certainly don't want to bring attention to myself, but to Him alone. I don't know that I've always succeeded at that, but that is my heart. That's my desire. And I think one thing that our Lord has taught me about appearance is that He looks at the heart. I'm going to Proverbs 27, and I'm going to read verse 19. Proverbs 27:19, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Now, I do believe that what is in our heart will be reflected in what we wear. And I'm going again to Proverbs, just one page over from where we are today, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When God has done a work in our hearts, we will pay more attention to our appearance. I've also learned that paying more careful attention to our appearance can sometimes open important doors in our personal and professional relationships. For instance, you might take someone looking for a job. A prospective employer might consider someone who is clean cut and neat in appearance over someone who is sloppy and dirty. Well, the truth I've learned about clothing, Solomon has proclaimed about wisdom. Wise sayings are valuable commodities that, when applied, can change a person's destiny. Do you want to be a loser in life? Then ignore the guidance found in godly wisdom. But if you want to be a winner, then obey the guiding words God has for us in His Word. When properly applied, they will lead you to blessings that you never imagined. So we're going to begin today with the last verse in Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 33 of Proverbs chapter 1. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. In Proverbs 1:20 through 33, Solomon personified wisdom as an astute and compassionate woman. Lady Wisdom stands in public places to call out God's guidance for successful living. Foolish people ignore her voice at their own peril. In contrast, the person who listens to and obeys the voice of Lady Wisdom can expect to live with a sense of security and protection from evil. The term whoever underscores that wisdom isn't limited to those with academic degrees, family wealth, or social position. Wisdom begins with a right relationship with God and grows as believers, whatever their educational, financial, or social status is, as they listen to and follow God's will. First, we're going to skip down to chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The promises given in the book of Proverbs often are conditional. They show the concrete results that generally hold true for particular kinds of behavior, whether wise or foolish. The opening word of this verse, then, shows what will be the result if a believer diligently seeks after and accepts God's wisdom. First, that believer will understand the fear of the Lord. We learned last week in the discussion of Proverbs 1, verse 7, that for the believer, this fear is not terror, but a deep reverence for who God is. Since wisdom begins with a right relationship with God, the seeker of wisdom will gain insight into the kind of relationship the Heavenly Father desires for His children. Second, the believer who searches diligently for God's wisdom will find the knowledge of God. This phrase can refer either to knowledge that comes from God or to knowledge about God. Ultimately, these two types of knowledge are intertwined. The only way that we as created beings can know the truth about God is through His self-revelation. That revelation comes to us in the created universe, the inspired scriptures, and ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of our finding this knowledge is not for information, but for deepening our relationship with our Maker and our Redeemer. As our trust and devotion grow, He gives us more of His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom is the skill of making right choices at the opportune time. Knowledge involves that which one knows through experience. It is not theoretical, but the inside of practical experience. Understanding is more than the accumulation of information. It is the ability to put knowledge into practice. God does not give us His Word to satisfy our intellectual curiosity, but to help us live wisely in everyday situations. I'm going to read the first part of verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. God possesses a treasure which is success and sound wisdom that He keeps in plentiful reserve for His obedient people. This divine treasure is much more than mere earthly treasure. Ungodly people may experience varying degrees of worldly success, but material treasure is temporary and often robs people of genuine peace. Jesus warned His disciples not to put their hope and faith in earthly treasure, because it can disappear as fast as it is accumulated. Wise believers trust God to supply their every need from the storehouse of His inexhaustible riches in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to do 7b and verse 8. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. In a second word picture, God is described as a shield. This term likely refers to the arm-held shield a warrior used in close combat. The Apostle Paul used the same imagery to depict the shield of faith, by which Christians ward off the devil's flaming arrows of temptation and accusation. In reality, the Lord Himself is that shield for His people. Those who can count on God's protection are described as people of integrity. This quality involves more than honesty. It conveys the concept of being whole or complete. These are people who know the Lord and are devoted to serving Him. His unshakable promise is to guard their paths or daily events and challenges and protect their way or overall life direction and destiny. Now, we must be careful here not to presume that believers will have trouble-free lives. Our sovereign God can protect us from any danger or challenge, but sometimes He delivers us through trials for an even greater purpose. Nevertheless, Solomon taught that we can be confident that practicing godly wisdom keeps us from experiencing the pitfalls of unwise living. Applying such wisdom can literally protect our physical well-being. In addition, we are eternally secure if we have entered into a right relationship with God through Christ. Verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. So here's another verse that begins with then, because it shows the results of walking in the way of faith. These results are cataloged in verses 9 through 12. First, walking in the way of faith leads to a deeper understanding an application of three qualities that build godly relationships: righteousness, justice, and integrity. No one can attain right standing with God through self-effort. To experience righteousness, human beings are totally dependent on the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Only by faith in Him can we be made right with God. Consequently, we live rightly because God, through Christ, makes us righteous. This concept applies also to our relationships with other people. God wants us to treat one another just as He would, righteously, to apply justice in daily interactions, and to maintain integrity, personal honesty, and fairness. Solomon described this trio as every good path. Verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. When we receive and obey God's word, wisdom enters our experience. It takes up residence in our thought life, giving us the proper way of perceiving truth and reality. As we experience this new manner of thinking, godly knowledge produces a sense of spiritual delight. Now we're going to do verses 11 and 12, and then we're going to skip down to 16. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Another aspect of discernment is discretion, the ability to choose wisely between good and evil options. Such skill can preserve the inexperienced when encountering subtle or dangerous choices. Coupled with discretion is understanding, pictured here as keeping guard over believers and rescuing us from the way of evil. Just as the way of faith and faithfulness is a direction in life and not a one-time event, so is the way of evil, but with terrible results. So understanding can rescue the believer from perverse speech and actions, as well as the temptations of immorality. Verse 20. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Verses 20 through 22 present a concluding summary and exhortation based on the benefits of wisdom versus the dangers of the way of evil. The exhortation comes in verse 20, and it urges God's people to walk in the way of good people so as to stay on the paths of the righteous. The two lines are parallel. So what Solomon meant by that reflects a right relationship with God. The terms way and path are reversed in order from verse 8, but the emphasis is still the same. Younger, inexperienced Christians show wisdom when they follow the way of faith. They see in mature believers and emulate their Christ-honoring choices in everyday life. Verses 21 and 22. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. These two verses summarize the contrasting results of the wise way of life versus the foolish or ungodly way of life. The wise will have a God-given place to dwell, which is the land, and a God-given promise of security, which is they will remain in the land. Again, this should not be taken as a guarantee of life without problems, but rather as a promise of God's unending care and provision for His people. The wicked have no such promise, and so they can expect the opposite. No part in God's dwelling, and no peace or stability in life. Now we're going to chapter 3, verse 1. We're skipping all over the place today. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Whenever Solomon emphasizes a particular section, he used the endearing term, my son. We can almost see him reaching out, placing his hand on his son's shoulder, and looking at him with strong, loving eyes as he urged him to remember God's instruction. As we grow older, we sometimes forget the wise lessons of our godly parents. We need to impress God's word into our hearts and minds so that we never, ever forget it. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Solomon described three benefits of following his instruction. First, the son would enjoy a longer life. Second, his son's life would be full and meaningful. He would have a sense of purpose and satisfaction about life. Third, the son would experience peace or wholeness and well-being. This third benefit is a reference to the Hebrew concept of shalom. It is often translated as peace, but it means more than the mere absence of conflict. Shalom refers to wholeness or completeness. Once again, we must not misunderstand this verse to guarantee that believers will never die young or be sick or experience the stresses of life. But it promises that living in faith and according to God's wisdom helps us avoid many of the situations that can result in pain and distress. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. God wants us to enjoy healthy relationships. Too often, we base friendships on compatible personalities or mutual interest. God knows that such qualities are fleeting. They're changeable and insufficient for stable relationships. Two characteristics of godly friendships are loyalty and faithfulness. Lasting relationships involve people who are committed to one another, whether times are easy or difficult. And as I studied that, I want you to know, I just pictured this class and the relationship that you ladies have with each other. And that truly demonstrates to me godly friendship. Because that's just what came to my mind as I read that, is this class right here. So just continue living out that godly friendship with everybody. The second characteristic, faithfulness, involves the consistency and integrity necessary for right relationships. Indecision and dishonesty never produce trust, and without trust, relationships are impossible. Trust is built on the foundation of truth. Solomon's counsel emphasizes that believers through the Holy Spirit, have the power to hold on to these qualities. The picture is that of wearing them constantly as we might wear a necklace. It's also interesting to note that a necklace is part of our outer appearance, while the heart points to the inner center of our being. In Christ, we are transformed from the inside out. We think differently inside, and we act differently outside. Verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. This verse points ahead to one who fulfilled it in full measure. Perhaps even without realizing it, Solomon described how Jesus would display wisdom and experience favor even as a young boy. And I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2 and right quick read verse 52. Luke 2, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. When we exhibit God's wisdom in our relationships, we will not only please God, but will also build a name or reputation among other people as being trustworthy and genuine. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In one of the most familiar expressions of the Old Testament, Solomon summarized his fatherly advice by encouraging his son to trust in the Lord. Effective trust does not happen with a casual attitude. We must place our lives in His care with all of our heart. Half-hearted faith, like a double mind, produces unstable lives. Our reliance on God must apply to all of our ways. We must not try to compartmentalize our faith. Offering God one day a week or giving Him only partial allegiance. How foolish it would be to trust God for our eternal salvation and not rely on Him in our family, our finances, our business, and all other areas of our life. When we commit to following Him unreservedly, we can depend on Him to guide us in the right paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for the opportunity, Lord, to come into Your house, Lord, to worship You, to study Your Word, Lord, to just be lifted up in fellowship one with another. Lord, I just thank You for this congregation. And thank You, Lord, for Your presence here today. Father, I just pray for each one, Lord, that they would be encouraged. Lord, that they would just be filled to the brim with Your Holy Spirit till they overflow. Father, I pray that we all will go out and share Your friendship that You have so generously and mercifully given to us with others out in the world, Lord, who need to know You. Father, we know that we can only find strength and guidance in You. Lord, help us to put our faith in You and to trust You with our very being. Father, I pray for our service today, Lord, that You would be glorified. Lord, we would see You and worship You with all of our hearts. For it's in Your name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.